Well, Rick Dines is here, but he's not here to talk about Springfield Contemporary Theater for a change.
I'm just here to fool you.
It's April Fool's. You are directing a show for the MSU Theater and Dance Department. You brought along Jordan Woods, one of the actors in the show. The show is Hair, the American tribal love rock musical, playing next weekend in Coger Theater. How did you get involved in doing this show for MSU?
It was just kind of a series of events. There were some faculty members leaving, and they were kind of having to figure out how to cover the season. And with some new faculty coming in, they were looking for some outside directors, because this season both of the musicals have actually been directed by alums. Mm-hmm. And so I was available, and it's a show I have a long history with and love dearly. So it was not a difficult choice for me to make. So.
Jordan, what are you doing in the show?
I will be playing a cheeseburger in this production of Hair. His name's George Berger. He's kind of like the leader. I kind of see him as a shepherd of this tribe of hippies.
You're not Claude, then?
No,
I am not. Oh,
okay.
No.
All right. This show dates back to what, 1966, 67?
67 was when it was originally off-Broadway, and then it transferred to Broadway in 68.
Now, let's just go through the storyline here. Basically, you have a group of friends who are sort of a tribe of young political activists and free spirits are living in New York City circa 1967. Mm-hmm. And when they're not doing anti-war protests and sit-ins and be-ins and so on, they explore free love and consciousness-expanding drugs. Now, in the midst of all the beads and flowers and freedom and happiness and so on, Claude gets a summons from the draft board for Vietnam military service. So he has to decide whether to submit to the expectations of conservative society or burn his draft card in unity with the tribe. So the hippie ethos, how does it translate to audiences in 2016?
Well, I think what's interesting about the show and the history of the show is...
Well, Galt McDermott's music is wonderful anyway.
Amazing. Absolutely. I mean, truly. Yeah. He is one of the very, very few composers for the musical theater that had his finger on the pulse of contemporary music, and it didn't sound like a Broadwayized version of contemporary music.
No, he was writing rock music.
Yeah, he was. Definitely. And I mean, it's the last show that had, you know, multiple radio hits come out of it.
Yeah,
there
right.
has not been a show since that is. I mean, even with the success of Hamilton now, it's not on the radio. Though Lin-Manuel Miranda is one of the other few composers that that can hear contemporary music and put it on stage and it sound authentic and not Broadwayized. But no, what Galt McDermott did was great musically. But the show in its day, of course, was extremely popular, and it lasted and was revived in 77. And then about 1980, the show vanished. Until the late 90s, the show for about almost 20 years just vanished off the landscape. Mm. And I think truly it was the AIDS crisis. And it was at that point irresponsible to produce a show
about free love.
About free love. Yeah. And so I think the AIDS crisis really kind of made the show just stop being produced. And so once it kind of reemerged, it reemerged as a period piece. But I think the reason you're starting to see in the last 5 or 6 years the show being produced so much is less about the drugs and free love and more about the political activism and youth being politically active, because the youth of America became awfully complacent for a long time.
And
the youth of America is back to being very politically active and aggressive. And I think that's what makes the show relatable again.
Because it's not just about sex and drugs. It's about civil rights, social change, peace, black power, free speech, women's lib, gay rights.
Oh, absolutely. The environment.
Environmentalism.
Yeah. I mean, it's all in there.
New age spirituality.
And we're still grappling with all of those things.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, with the exception of the draft,
right,
everything else we're really still grappling with
right.
that's in the show. And so it was – that is the good thing about doing the show with a cast that's two generations removed from it, which is – I think the show is going to only get harder and harder to produce with every generation, because they just get more and more removed from this experience. But
Jordan, how do you relate to the storyline and what's happening in this play?
Well, I definitely think there's something to relate for everyone who comes to see this show, whether it's politically, whether it's historically so important. Like we briefly list a ton of things and political pop figures of the 60s, like Timothy Leary. I had no idea who he was until this show. And now I know like what an icon he was for these people. And
I mean, does anybody teach 60s and 70s history in college?
I don't know, Randy. When I was in college, you knew it because you grew up in it.
Right.
I know it wasn't history at that point.
No, it wasn't history. It was.
So I have no idea.
It was what we lived through, but you didn't live through that. And so how have you found your way into it?
Well, it's been crazy. Last semester we did Dogfight, which takes place in the early 60s,
mm-hmm.
and that's very patriotic, very military-based early 60s. And then to come to this, which is later in the 60s, just that span of 10 years is incredible to witness about where these army boys come from in the beginning 60s to mm-hmm. this free love movement to against war and so much about peace and love. And just that journey in itself over this past year has been amazing. So much just learning about the history and learning about the politics and learning about specific things about the military there today that I didn't go into the military. So learning about that stuff or learning about peaceful on what it means to be peaceful, you know, like what it means to not be confrontational, to be just present and to hand out flowers and to smile and to be like, we just don't want to fight anymore. We just want to love each other. And like everything is so important.
And you talked about activism mm-hmm. among young people, but it does seem like the world is a much harsher place in some ways. Or maybe, you know, it's maybe easy to look at it through rose-colored glasses, but and to take the peace and love message mm-hmm. that is such a vital part of this show. But does it seem to you that there is a lot more rancor and anger than there might have been back then? I can't really believe that there is because
I think the tumultuousness is there. I just think there hasn't as strongly or as vocally risen a rise in a movement for peaceful protest.
Right.
That rise has yet to come, but I think it will. I mean, there had been pretty tumultuous protests before the rise
sure.
of this movement in the 60s. So I have a feeling sure. it's coming.
But you've got the situation with protesters at Donald Trump rallies getting in fist fights with his supporters.
Absolutely.
And,
They
ain't putting flowers in people's lapels.
And I may be completely wrong, as I wasn't alive in the late 60s. But
well, by gosh, I was.
But I also – one of the things that Cast and I have talked about is one of the things I find different right now is there seems to be such a move to lash out at people on your own side of the argument if your arguments don't perfectly gel.
Yeah, right.
And people get caught up in that as opposed to remembering that – you know, there is something that is diametrically opposite you that maybe that's what you should be focused on as opposed to the person next to you that didn't word it the same way you'd have worded it.
Right. Yeah.
Like maybe that's not your enemy in this
right,
fight.
Exactly.
And that's, mm-hmm. you know, I feel like that I don't ever remember seeing
in the 60s. No,
you know,
not really.
In any of the stuff I've researched about the show over the years, I've never seen that fight in fighting
yes.
quite like that in the 60s. So I think that's something we have to learn to get past.
But. And there's such a thing with social media nowadays. It's mm-hmm. such a form of fighting and expressing oneself.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And even protesting, getting people behind sharing a post that ends up spreading around and it's getting back to a main source. It's been insane the past, especially year and a half.
But again, this show takes you back to, if not a kinder, gentler time, at least a time where people were trying to be kinder and gentler.
The group of people this show focuses on.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean they weren't also angry and confrontational at times, too.
Sure.
You know, they have their moments of anger and confrontation, but...
But you've got all these great songs. Aquarius, Good Morning, Starshine.
Yeah. I mean, it is what dominated the radio in the late 60s.
Sure did.
This is the sound of a generation, so...
What size, how many people in your cast?
There's 25 in the cast as a whole, 23 students playing the tribe, and then we have two alums that have come, that we brought in to play these cameo roles of Claude's parents that reoccur a couple times in the show briefly.
Who's
and
playing?
So Sean Teague and Kristen Farr are in doing those two roles.
Who's playing Claude?
Noah Germain is playing Claude.
Well, all right. There are going to be four performances of Hair at Craig Hall Coger Theater next week, Thursday through Saturday, April 7th, 8th, and 9th, all at 7:30 p.m., and Sunday the 10th at 2:30. And tickets range from $12 to $18. They're available by calling the MSU Tix number, 836-7678, or online at MissouriStateTix.com. Anything else people need to know about the show?
You know, I've had the great pleasure over the last 12, 18 months on different productions downtown to work with several of the current students in this department right now.
Yes.
And a great deal of my jumping at the chance to do this was I do think right now they have one of the most talented groupings of students that have kind of come through at one time in quite a while. And so I jumped at the chance to get to work not only with those that I had already worked with, but some that I had seen on stage and hadn't gotten the chance to work with. And it has been they just blow me away every night. So,
well, that is Rick Dines from Springfield Contemporary Theater, who has come in as a guest to direct Hair at MSU Theater and Dance. And Jordan Woods is one of the actors in the show. So come out next weekend and see all these young MSU actors finding out what I guess they've made the discovery of what was happening two generations before they were born, and how they explore that in Galt McDermott's Hair. And again, is Thursday through Saturday next week at 7:30 and Sunday, April 10th at 2:30 in Coger Theater. Gentlemen, thanks for being here.
Appreciate
it. Thank you so much.
Right.